today. We're not going to be going in our normal study in Ephesians because of me being gone for 2 to 3 weeks and the world literally changing in many ways. There's so many things happening. God put a prophetic message in my heart. It's kind of interesting with such a sweet day of ministry and song. It's a rather serious message prophetically. And so I want you guys to open your Bibles up to Joel chapter 3. And while you're finding your way in the Old Testament to Joel chapter 3, let's pray and ask for God to speak to us today what he wants for his flock. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we thank you what you're going to speak prophetically to us. And God, what you're going to share with us. I thank you for the warnings. I thank you for the encouragements. I pray, God, for wisdom, Lord, for us, for the nation of Israel, for our president and our nation, as we go through very interesting times, I believe, in the last days prophetically. And so I pray, God, that you would be our teacher today, that you would open your word, and Lord, that you would say what you want to say to your church. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let me say we had a great trip to Israel. I want to say a little bit about that. We kind of covered that on Wednesday. So if you want to hear what I talked about then, go listen online. But we had a great trip. Again, I know you see a lot of things about, you know, how terrible it is and all this happening, but we had a wonderful trip. Never any issues. We went to Jordan and traveled down through Jordan, ended up in Petra, where again, the children of Israel are going to be fleeing to in the final 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, that region down there. Amazing to see that and to see God's preparation for that area down there. Got to share a Bible study right there where the old treasury building is in Petra. And again, we see in these like Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of those kind of scenes there in the background. We had a lot of people there that are not necessarily friendly to Christianity and the Bible that were listening in as I was sharing the Bible study. And so I thought, well, this may not be Raiders of the Lost Ark. It may be Raiders of the Lost Mark. And so again, with me running with swords and chasing me down through the, you know, doing my own movie, but it went great. And then we went into Israel and went from Eilat, the bottom of Israel, all the way up to the top and just had a tremendous time. Just a great journey there and a wonderful time together. But again, as you guys know, while we were gone, there was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And it literally, again, the world changed while I was gone. It was interesting to watch what happened. Not just here in America with all that was going on, but I was watching there in Israel as they were doing memorials for him and around the globe. And to me, it was, of course, yes, they were honoring Charlie Kirk, which he was, again, honor worthy. But what was a larger picture to me was, is what God was doing. God used and is using this situation to speak the gospel to the entire world. It's really quite amazing what's happening. Again, for those of you that, again, saw what happened here in the memorial that they had in Arizona, they said some 100 million people were watching at one time. And that doesn't include all the repeats online and all the different things that take place. I mean, I've heard one person say maybe as many as 1 billion people could have seen that, but I don't know what the numbers are. The bottom line is, it was almost like God just spoke from the pulpit of heaven and preached the gospel to the entire world. It was the largest preaching of the gospel to the largest number of people at one time in world history. Think about that. And again, yeah, isn't that amazing? So I believe it's God's call in the last days. God's going to be in calling to the world. You need to come to Christ. You need to repent of your sins. This is just the beginning. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when we get into the final 7 years of this world before the Lord comes back, the rapture will take place. The great tribulation will begin. During the great tribulation, God is going to be using angels to fly around the earth, it tells us, and preach the gospel to the entire world. And so God, to me, this was like the beginning of God beginning to speak now the message of the gospel in large ways to the world. It's almost like this is the last call, guys. Those of you that want to come into the kingdom, you better come in because I'm about to wrap things up with this era and start my rule and reign when I come back at the second coming. So again, it's really a warning and an encouragement for all of us. But watching God just do this and watching how it's stirring the world spiritually. Now, again, people are talking revival. I hope that it is. We'll have to see. Right now, there's a great spiritual stirring. I think there was a great awakening and oh my goodness, look what happened. And any one of us could be gone at any moment. And again, the gospel being preached so boldly everywhere. We'll find out, is it a last days revival? Well, we'll know because if it's just a stirring, it'll die down. But if it's a revival, it's going to last and continue on. And you're going to see, because with revivals, they don't last a few months. They last like 40 and 50 years. And you're going to begin to see fresh new worship poured out from heaven. If it's a real revival, that always follows true revival. You're going to see lots of people coming into the kingdom if it's true revival. You're going to see churches begin to fill up again if it's true revival. And so again, this is something that we're watching for. We'll see. Either way, God is doing doing an amazing work through Charlie's life and again through the gospel as it's being presented. No matter where you stand on the position of him as an individual, God is using this in a powerful way to reach the world with the gospel. And there's a great, again, move of God's Spirit. Again, I think of just the little simple prayer vigil that my girls put together on campus over there. That was like 400 to 500 people showed up, which is amazing for a campus. I mean, just to be a little prayer vigil, especially after they had the large memorial before that. And then we had on our website almost 30,000 likes on that particular outreach that was done at the campus. So here's what's happening. People's attention is being drawn to the Lord. And that's what matters, and that's what's so wonderful about this. But again, not only am I going to share some things prophetically with you today when we get to Joel in just a moment, but also some warnings for us, guys. And I've watched something else happen. Look, whenever God starts moving, the enemy comes in to confuse things. And I believe the enemy was already confusing things. And so God is raising up a standard. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And that word standard means battle flag. That means, all right, you're going to play this game. We're going to go to war. And I want you guys to be aware of this. Stick to the word of God and what it says about the last days and God's promises to the nation of Israel specifically, because again, there seems to be a great attack coming in that area. I was actually, listen, the Jews get blamed for everything, but I was actually hearing there in Israel, well, the Jews killed Charlie Kirk, and now they're even saying his own wife killed him. There's all these crazy theories that are out there that are just ridiculous that really, again, the enemy's trying to stir things, but it brought to my heart wanting to once again encourage you guys, guard your heart from listening to some of the political podcasts that are blaming Israel for everything, including this. The Bible warns us in the last days, be ready for this, Satan is going to turn the entire world against Israel. The Bible says that. God, in the last days, God says, I'm going to bring them back into the land. And when I bring them back into the land, Satan is going to turn the eyes of and the hearts of the world against the nation of Israel. Everyone in the world will hate them. Is anybody seeing that happening? And God says, and I'm going to come in and rescue them in the last days. It's going to culminate in Russia and Iran and some other nations attacking from the north in Israel. God says at that time, he's going to pour out his spirit. There'll be 144,000 saved at that moment. Many other Jews during the great tribulation, as will be at the wedding supper of the Lamb in heaven, because the rapture will have taken place by then. And of course, so many Gentiles will be getting saved as well. But don't fall into the trap of believing that God is through with the nation of Israel, or that God is somehow, again, going to judge the nation of Israel. Look, they're an ungodly nation. We can agree on that. They don't know God. They're no doubt doing all kinds of things that are wrong. That's not the point. Good thing America never does anything wrong. But God says this, regardless of what they do, my promise to them is unconditional, and I'm going to revive them in the last days. I'm going to wake them up, and the reason the church is to stand with them is because they are future family. God has said, they're going to be brought into the kingdom. You need to love them now. You need to stand with them now. Not stand if they do something wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of the accusations that are coming against them right now are simply just false and they're demonic. I'll give you just a couple. As a matter of fact, well, let me read, first of all, in Matthew 24, you got to stay where you are. But let me read to you. It'll be on the screens. Listen to what God says will happen to the Jews and the nation of Israel in the last days. I want you to see it, not just hear me say it. Look at verse 4. They asked what was going to happen in the last days. That's the setting here. Maybe I should read verse 3. I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry it's not on the screen for you. But he says, now as they sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately saying, tell us, when will these things be and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So the context is the last days at the second coming. He set the context. Now let's read what he says in that context. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. We see that now with New Age and all type of other religions, and they will deceive many. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. That is, there have always been rumors and wars, but you're going to see them increase. He's going to talk about it like a woman in birth pangs here in a moment. He says, see that you're not troubled. Why would we not be troubled? Because he's telling us in advance, and we know that he's in control of it, since he knows all things and has all power. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. We're watching that. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. It says the beginning of sorrows. The word literally there in the Greek is birth pangs. It's not the word, the Greek word I don't have, but that's what it means. And that means it's going to be like contractions about somebody having a baby. It'll happen more frequently. It'll be stronger as we get to the birth of the new kingdom. And so you're going to see these things take place. Now, He says, in that context of the very end of the age and God working with the nation of Israel, Jesus said this to his disciples, the Jewish disciples, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, he's not speaking specifically to his disciples because all the nations of the world didn't hate them. He's speaking prophetically about the Jewish people as he spoke to his disciples that in the last days, in this context, all the nations of the earth are going to turn against Israel. Does anybody see that happening? Again, we have been warned and we've been warned and we've been warned. And right now, maybe some of you are saying, yeah, but. There's lots of yeah, buts. Don't listen to the yeah, buts. And don't listen to the political pundits that might even be conservative that are attacking Israel and saying that God is through with them and they're to blame for everything, guys. Listen to the word of God. There's going to be a falling away in the last days, the Bible says. Don't let that be you. Stick to God's word. God made his unconditional promise to Israel, regardless of what they do. God's going to keep those unconditional promises. Anything they do wrong, he'll hold them accountable. But his promises won't break. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God, the promises are irrevocable, and that in Romans is in the context of speaking of the nation of Israel. So God's going to be faithful to them. So again, guard yourself from listening to these podcasters, even the conservative ones you may like. Listen, they are not theologians. They're podcasters. They're ex-newscasters. You go down the list. They're not theologians. Remember that. Stand on the word of God. Again, some of the lies the enemy's using to turn people against the nation in these days. Genocide's happening in Gaza. Nonsense. As a matter of fact, the leadership of Gaza, Hamas, why they did this, I don't know. I think God maybe made them. They released their latest numbers since October 7th began, and they have gone up in population. Guys, that's the opposite of genocide. I'm not saying people aren't dying. I'm not saying war's not ugly. But remember what happened. Israel is defending themselves. Let me give you a context of what happened. It's a nation in trauma, which we'll get to in a moment. But imagine this. If you take the percentage of what happened in Israel and take it to America, it would be the same as if tonight somebody crossed one of our borders in America and killed 40,000 of our men, women, and children and brutally murdered, raped, and cut their heads off and then put it out on social media for everybody in America to watch. What do you think we would do? We would wipe them out. And they would deserve to be wiped out. All Israel's doing is wiping out those that came in and did that to their people and their nation, and they're trying to prevent it from happening again, and the world's screaming, genocide, genocide. No, you don't grow in population with genocide. You go the other way. Look, if Israel wanted to wipe out everybody in Gaza, they could do it in one day. They have the power to do it. These are false lies by the enemy, and it's even being espoused by some conservative podcasters that are out there. Don't listen to these people. Another one is, well, they're starving them. Nonsense. Israel has sent in or allowed in, combined together, some 2 million tons of food since October 7th. That is 1 ton of food per person in the Gaza Strip. You could be very healthy with 1 ton of food for a couple of years in the Gaza Strip. So what's happening? Why are people saying this? Number one, the enemy's lying. But number two, as soon as they send the food in, Hamas steals it. So Hamas is the one to blame. Israel's not to blame. But what I'm watching is I'm watching this spiritual battle take place in the heavenlies, and I'm watching Israel be blamed for everything, and I'm watching the world just take it hook, line, and sinker. I think the thing that really disturbs me is I'm watching many in the church do the same thing. Guys, we have to don't listen to those that are going against the word of God. Stay with the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Do your own homework. Find out the facts, and you'll find out that what I'm saying is true. Now, again, what's happening is as a nation, what's going on with them? They're broken. They're a traumatized nation. And they are the most open to the gospel I've ever seen them. I believe God is breaking them down, getting ready for them to be saved, that first 144,000 anytime. God is getting ready, even as he broke us down, when we gave our life to the Lord, God broke us down. We finally repented and gave ourselves to Jesus. He's doing the same thing with the nation. Again, they were so thankful when we were there. The people were so receptive. Did you know they said we were the largest tour group in 2 years to go to the nation of Israel? Yeah. And they were thanking us. They were so thrilled that we were there. They were just like, you know, thank you for coming. Please come back. And we had several opportunities, different people in the group, to share the gospel with them. We've never really had gospel outreach when we've done these mission trips, our Israel trips. It's just been going to Israel. But literally, God began to use it almost as a missions outreach, as some of our people got to share with people in the streets. I know Tracy and I got to share with an Israeli sergeant, and we got to clearly share the gospel. He was like, well, what do you do? You know, for us, we do all these works trying to please God. What do you do as a Christian? I said, we believe in the blood of Yeshua, the Passover lamb who paid for our sins and washed it away. So now he's done it all for us. We simply put our faith in him. And we were able to share about Abraham offering his only son, Isaac, and Jesus being offered in the same place on Mount Moriah. And again, he was listening and he was like, you know, that's very reasonable. And thank you for sharing. God's working in their hearts. You could never do that in the past. It's just, they're traumatized. They're open to the word of God. And be praying for them as a nation. Be lifting them up to God for God's protection, for God to open their eyes. And I know he's getting them ready when his spirit is poured out. Now, it's not just what God is doing in Israel. Again, that's the focal point when it comes to prophecy. But what God is doing in the world right now, not just preaching the gospel from heaven and this recent thing with Charlie Kirk was powerful and amazing. But God is also now, again, even in the UN, the enemy's starting to stir. Again, we always see the United Nations used as one of the enemy's tools, and the enemy is really stirring this past week. If you're keeping up with what's going on in the UN, there were some 10 nations who declared Palestine a state. They don't have a state. They made this declaration. Palestine is now a state. Now, some of you that are prophecy geeks, you're going, 10 people, that's 10 toes of Daniel. No, it's not. I don't believe that. I don't believe it is, because these aren't the nations. Some of them are too weak to be these last 10. It just happens to be 10. There may be more by the time we're done, and they haven't come together in some world community type thing. But what's happening is that they are saying, look, because what Israel's doing, and they're making all the false accusations of genocide and famine and all these things, we need to come in now and form a Palestinian state and do all these kind of things. The Bible says God gave that land to Israel. He gave it to the Jews, and he's given everyone else plenty of land. There's plenty of land all around there for anybody that wants to go and settle anywhere else. But God said, this is the land I gave to the Jews. It's an unconditional promise I've given to Abraham, and I'm going to keep that promise. And when anybody goes against the promise of God, they bring consequences on themselves. And we've seen that historically. And so this is where, again, in just a moment, we'll get to in Joel chapter 3. But again, this sets the stage. I want you to see where God says in the last days, they're going to divide his land. And when they divide his land, God's going to judge them for that. Now, we don't want to be a part of that as a nation. That's why I want you to be praying for our president. That's why I want you to be praying for our nation. Maybe you saw someone ask the president this last week, a couple of days ago, hey, are you going to allow Israel to declare Judea and Samaria as Israel? He said, no, I won't allow that. And when I heard that, my ears perked up and I kind of stood still for a minute saying, Lord, please don't let him make a bad mistake here. Because every person, every nation, it doesn't matter who it is that goes against the last day's plan of God bringing them back to the land, God removes them. God deals with them. It doesn't matter who you are or what your political slant is or where you stand. The bottom line is God says you protect the land of Israel and you make sure you guard it. It is going to be divided in the last days. Right now they're doing the mental dividing. There's no land to give them, but they're working mentally to get everybody ready. And I believe it's going to be the Antichrist that's going to introduce it when he comes on the scene. So when everybody's already talking about it, he'll come on the scene and say, hey, I've got a great plan. Now, the Bible doesn't say what his plan is, but I'm going to give you what I think possibly could happen. I'm not saying this will happen, so this is not the Bible. This is just Mark. But look, the Palestinians want half of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem wants half of the Temple Mount. They don't have that. Neither of them have what they want. I believe the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and say, all right, we'll give half of Jerusalem and a portion in Israel for the Palestinians to have their own state. And then, but you guys have to give up half the Temple Mount so the Jews can now rebuild their third temple. And I believe that'll be a huge negotiating tool that may help to bring this thing to fruition. Now we'll see, only God knows, but he's going to be seen as this great person that brings the whole world together, solves the problems of the Middle East. And I think the stage, matter of fact, I know the stage is being set. I want you to see some of this. Look what it says here in Joel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, what is the setting of Joel 3? Understand, the context here is speaking of the second coming. And by the way, he's going to talk about the Jews there in Jerusalem being the context, which means this. The Jews are going to be back in the land in the last days, even as they are now. And those who say God's finished with the nation of Israel or that they're not real Jews. Listen, for those who say they're not real Jews, then why do the Palestinians say we want to drive the Jews into the ocean, we want to kill them all? They certainly believe they're real Jews. They certainly believe they're back in the land, and you can see Satan working in them to fight against them and try to destroy them. And listen to what it says in Joel chapter 3 with that context of the second coming and last days. For behold, in those days and at that time, that is the time of the very end, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, there it is, the Jews in the last days to their land, I will also gather all nations, even as Jesus said in Matthew 24, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have divided up my land. Now, there's a lot of things to note here. First of all, Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is speaking of the Battle of Armageddon. And it's going to go all the way from Armageddon, which is up north, all the way down to Petra, where we just got back from, where the Jews are going to be fleeing. And yet Jehoshaphat is centered in Jerusalem. It is what we call today the Kidron Valley. And so the nations are going to be gathered in this massive battle line that goes hundreds of miles coming against Israel. The Antichrist leading them during this final 7 years at the very end. The focal point will be Jerusalem as Satan tries to take over what is going to be basically the Lord's throne there on the Temple Mount, where he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And right there in that valley, the Lord says, I'm going to judge the nations. He's going to fight for Israel. He's going to fight for his land, and he's going to judge the nations. And notice he says, I'm doing it on account of my people, my heritage Israel, not the church. We're not Israel. Israel is Israel. We've never replaced them. We never will replace them, whom the nations have scattered. And notice it speaks in past tense. They have also divided up whose land? My land. Guys, the land belongs to God. And God says, I can give it to whoever I want. He gave it to the nation of Israel. And he says, you're dividing it up. You're stepping. When anybody messes with that land, they're stepping out of their boundaries. Look, our president, God has blessed greatly. He's the leader of the strongest nation in the world. He's riding high right now in polls and success and all these things. We get that. No matter where you stand politically, that's just a reality. And God has honored him in that. But here's the bottom line. He's not to step into God's realm and start making deals about the land of Israel. He's not done that. I'm not saying he is, and hopefully he won't. I'm saying we need to be praying. And we're going to finish today by praying for him that he doesn't, that he allows Israel to do what they're going to do. Look, this is going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride. There's going to be some turbulence before we're done. So as long as the teaching light is on, remain seated and keep your seatbelt firmly fastened. But I'll land this plane smoothly, I promise. But the bottom line is that when I heard him make that statement about he wasn't going to allow them to declare Judea and Samaria Israel, again, I'm not saying they were even going to, they were talking about doing that, Israel was, and they might not even try to do that. I'm saying, and hopefully he won't fight against it. I'm saying we need to be praying that those that put around him, that God has put around him, who know the Lord, will be saying, Mr. President, you need to keep your hands off of God's land. This is his. He takes it very personally. He deals with it very seriously. And so that's what he's talking about here in Joel chapter 3. He says, this is my land, and they've divided it up. He's not happy. Look at verse 3. They've cast lots for my people, that is the Jews. They've given a boy as a payment for harlot, sold a girl for wine that they may drink. That is, he sold. They're selling God's people out. When they make this deal, the Antichrist will sell out the nation. Indeed, when you what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? That's modern day Lebanon, and all the coasts of Philistia. That's down the coast there on the Mediterranean toward Israel. Will you retaliate against me? But if you retaliate against me swiftly and speedily, I will return your retaliation upon your own head. Because you've taken my silver and my gold and carried it into your temples, my prized possessions. That is, you're taking the belongings of Israel, you're trying to strip them of the land, and what I've given them, you're trying to make it your own. Also, the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, you've sold to the Greeks that you may remove them far from their borders. Whose borders? Their borders. Behold, I will raise them up out of the place to which you've sold them and return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and your daughters into the land of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, that is Russia, to a people far off, for the Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war. Again, we're talking about the last days, Armageddon again. Wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plows into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. That is the Kidron Valley. At the second coming, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations, that is, that are gathered against Israel. This now comes straight out of Revelation 14, verse 13. Look at this. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. In other words, it's time for judgment. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That is, will you serve God or will you serve Satan? For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And now he talks about what's going to be happening. We see from Revelation and during the Great Tribulation, the final 3.5 years, the sun and the moon will go dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion. When he comes back, he's going to roar like a lion, the Bible says. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem. So he's going to right there. That's where his judgment will be taking place as he defends the nation and defends his land. The heavens and the earth will shake, But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Again, remember the church is with him in heaven. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine. So he's going to establish his kingdom and restore the earth for 1,000 years when he comes back. The hills shall flow with milk, and the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord, and water in the valley of Acacias. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom, where Petra is, interestingly, will be a desolate wilderness. Why? Because they're going to be judged during that time. Because of the violence against the people of Judah, that is the Jews. For they have shed innocent blood in their land, but Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. So they're going to continue on, even though their enemies tried to destroy them. For I will acquit them of the guilt of the bloodshed, whom I have not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Now, a mouthful, a lot of stuff there. This is where, guys, look, what's really in my heart, we need to be praying for Israel, for God to protect them. Remember, we're not standing with them because they're perfect and holy. They're an unrighteous nation. It's the future that we know. That's why we're standing with them. But we need to pray for Israel, but we also need to pray for our nation and our president. Most of the world has turned against Israel. And those, Genesis 12:3, those that bless Israel, I'll bless. Those that curse Israel, I will curse. We're blessed right now to have leadership that is blessing the nation of Israel. We do not want to see that change. So we need to be praying for wisdom for them not to make any mistakes when it comes to the land of Israel and any talk about a Palestinian state. God has given it to the Jews. We have to be so very careful. And guys, let me remind you, what has happened to nations or individuals that have messed with God's land throughout time, but especially in the last days? Again, Egypt, when they messed with Israel and that whole thing, not even letting them go when their history began, they used to be the greatest nation on the planet. They have been an insignificant nation since that day. UK, since World War II. And the Jews trying to go back to the land. Britain was a world power at that time. It may be hard to believe, but it was. They used to say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. There's always somewhere in the world they were ruling. When they rejected the Jews going back in 1947 and back in 1948, and even before that, they diminished as a nation, and they really are insignificant on the world stage today. Again, I think about some of their leaders, Yitzhak Rabin. Maybe you remember Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. In 2004, he was talked into, again, by President Clinton into trying to give up parts of Gaza. And he agreed at that time, the Jews were still living in parts of Gaza. And he tried to talk him into leaving Gaza. And as he was working on saying, yes, all right, we'll pull out of Gaza, we'll give that land away, he was assassinated. I don't know if you remember that or not. Then after that, about 10 years later, President Bush was trying to get Ariel Sharon to get out of Gaza, and he was pushing Ariel Sharon, get out of Gaza, get out of Gaza. Ariel Sharon pulled out of Gaza, and 4 months later had two strokes and spent 6 years in a coma in an Israel hospital where he died. Again, messing with the land of Israel, it's a dangerous thing. Again, President Bush at that time, actually when that happened, he was riding high in the polls. Again, if you remember, he was something like 70% approval rate. He had just been reelected about a year into office. 2 days after they pulled out of Gaza, Hurricane Katrina hit, which ruined him politically for the rest of his career as president. It was handled so poorly that, again, the nation, his ratings went from 70% down to 30. He became an insignificant president from that point on. But again, the one that really sticks out to me the most is one that happened recently. Again, I say recently, it's been a little while, but maybe you've heard of Keith Ellison. He was the very first Muslim congressman that we had in our nation. He was elected a few years back to serve in Congress. He's no longer serving there. But when he got elected, he made a big announcement. He said, look, I'm going to go to Israel, and I'm going to push with the power of the United States government, I'm going to push that they get pushed back to the 1947 borders prior to 1948 when they expanded, when they were attacked by the nations, and they expanded in land. He said, I'm going to push that they go back to the 1947 borders, which would expand the West Bank and make what they call the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria in God's eyes, make it larger for the Palestinians and kind of push Israel to the side. The day he made that announcement, I don't know if you remember this bridge that collapsed in Minnesota a few years back. That was in his district. Now get this. When they announced that bridge collapsed, on the day he made that announcement, they said this bridge was old. It was made in 1947, and it broke free from the West Bank. Now for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, when I heard that, I was like, I knew it. I knew something. Again, God, when it comes to messing with God's land, you don't do it. So then when I heard the president say, we're not going to allow them to make Judea and Samaria Israel, I shuddered. And I realized we need to pray for our president. It doesn't mean God doesn't, you know, take everybody out. I'm not saying that kind of thing. I'm saying that God brings them down. They lose their authority. They lose their position. Now we're in God's territory. We're stepping into God's stuff. This is not man's government. This is God Almighty. And so we need to be praying for the nation of Israel. We need to be praying for our president. And again, realizing that God is going to be faithful to the nation that's faithful to him. So I want to end today. Like I said, I want to try to have a softer landing. It's kind of interesting today. We have this sweet ministry by Jamie and by the worship team and all this goes on. And then I come in with all this, you know, death and destruction and end time stuff. So it didn't take me long to ruin any good situation. But this is what God put on my heart. And I think we need to be praying again that God would send revival. Here's the soft landing. That God would send revival with all that how our nation has been shaken the last couple of weeks. Let's be praying that God would send revival. Let's be praying that God would have mercy on our president, give him wisdom not to make the mistake that many other world leaders have made in messing with the land of Israel. You just don't go there. And so let's pray for his protection, for our nation's protection, and for God again to pour a great last days outpouring of his spirit. Wouldn't it be great for just a great revival in the last days, seeing the churches filled, people praising God, and then he comes and gets his bride and sweeps us off our feet and we're there in heaven for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Wouldn't that just be great? Wouldn't that be great? Now, it's gonna happen either way. It's gonna happen either way, but I would love to see it happen with a revival. So let's end by praying for that and for God's blessing on our nation and on the nation of Israel. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness to the nation of Israel. We know they don't know you now. We know they're not living righteously now, but we know, God, they're going to come to know you and they're going to be righteous in the future. You're gonna be saving them as a nation. And God, I pray you'd help us to use wisdom to stand with them as a nation. Thank you for the leadership you've given us that is standing with Israel. But again, I pray, God, that you would guard President Trump's heart, helping God not to make any decisions against the land of Israel when it comes to the Jews. Even staying neutral would be better than doing anything. So God, guard him. Let us be a nation. You said, those who bless Israel, I'll bless. Those who curse Israel, I'll curse. Let us be a blessed nation. Let us be a blessed church and fellowship, regardless of the opposition that we face. And God, again, I pray lastly that you would pour out your spirit for a great last days revival. God, that you would stir your church. Let what's happened here over the last couple of weeks in our nation stir us, God, to move us to where we can cry out to God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And let it begin right now. Lord, pour out your spirit on this fellowship right here. Pour out your spirit from heaven on us. I pray if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you, that right now, God, they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And if God is convicting you right now, hey, I may not understand all this thing this man's talking about up there, but God is moving in my heart. If you know that you need to confess your sin and to repent of your sin and turn to Christ, right now, tell the Lord, I am a sinner. And I believe that you died for me on that cross, that your blood washes my sin away. And I repent of my sin, I turn from it, I give my life to you. Father, thank you for those that are praying that prayer and the work that you're doing in our hearts. We give you all the glory, Lord, and we thank you that you told us when we see these things happening, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because you are on the throne. We're right on target. You're running the show, God. You're in control, and we put our total trust in you. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done today. We thank you for what you're going to be doing in the future, and we look forward to the day when we won't just be here worshiping our God and King. We will be before your throne in heaven. Lord, thank you. We give you all the glory and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.